It's time to spark it up with the Cantalinguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Rolling Stone announcing the next five states that will probably be legalizing weed. Bernie Sanders saying maybe he will legalize. We'll talk about that as well. The Fed rejects Colorado's weed bank. A little article called Bong Appetit, Alex Can't Speak, and Pot for Pups. We are the Cantalinguists and also the Tongue-Tied Linguists. Mm-hmm. I am Alex Mandelberg, sitting with me, my stony co-host, April O'Connor. How you doing?
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
I broke
away from the moms.
Oh, that's right. Your mother's in town. Your mother's in town from the East Coast.
Ma. I got to go do my podcast.
You don't put the R on your ma?
No, it's ma.
Yeah, I don't know. That's South Boston, those guys who put the R on it.
Mar?
Yeah, I can't even pronounce it. It's like ma. I can't.
Ma.
It just goes on. Ma.
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 I gotta go do my podcast. She's like, where are your priorities? She's like, where are your priorities? You just want to go smoke pot. I was like, no. I would just smoke pot right here. This is my apartment.
Mom.
You're in it, but I...
Mom,
but
I have
my
tens,
apartment.
I have tens of listeners, and I owe them going and recording my podcast so that the six of them that use it to get through an hour
it's
of work one day
that.
A week. I hope so. I don't know. I know.
We don't ask enough.
I undershoot so that my ego, like when I hear that we have more than that, my ego is like, yay.
No,
instead of me being
good.
Like, there's probably 1,000 people that listen. And then I find out there's 12. I'm like, aw. It hurts.
No, yeah. It's definitely better than that.
Well, thank God. Thank God there's more than that. You know, 12 people listening to it.
They're happy. We are happy.
But yeah, your mom from the East Coast. I just got back from the East Coast. This has been a long week. This has been a weird couple weeks. So thank you. By the way, those of you who are listening, please know that we apologize for the irregularity of the recording, but it's been a weird couple weeks. I just took a vacation with the girlfriend out to New York. We were there for a week, which was friggin' awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you've had the mom in town, so.
No, I mean, guys, we have lives.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
It was crazy. I will say, New York was a ton.
Sometimes you gotta take a break.
New York was a ton of fun.
But what, we just did 40 episodes, right?
Yeah, we did. We just hit 40.
41?
This is 41. Number 41. We're closing in on that year. I don't know when our first podcast. I don't know when our first episode was, though, because I don't pay attention to things very well.
I know.
I guess I could check the timestamp that's saved on the computer sitting right behind me, but why would I do something that logical?
When we could just... I know that it was like around October, like the end of October, because I had just moved into my apartment that I live in now, and I had no service, and I was talking to Ryan. Hi, Ryan. Standing outside.
Do we want to know? We'll find out.
Oh, we're going to look.
We'll find out right here.
Standing outside.
Live
and I moved
show.
Into my place in October, so I was standing outside trying to get a signal because they have no signal in my neighborhood. But hey, thanks to Wi-Fi.
November 7th was when we recorded the first episode. I'm sure it went up a few days after that, but yeah.
Look at that.
There we go. So it is closing in. It's getting close.
So then that means that if this is 41, we'll probably get we'll probably get 42. So that means we only really missed 8 in a year, 8 weeks.
That's not how math
10,
works. 12.
12?
12. There you go. 56 weeks, 54. 50, yeah, yeah.
Is it 56 weeks?
56 or 52 weeks.
Okay.
Just shut the fuck up. I don't need your fucking
delete
approval.
Delete this.
I don't need
go
your fucking
up.
Approval. God
we're
damn it.
We're going to have to edit this. I'm smarter than this.
No, we're not. We are not editing a fucking second of this.
No, we never do. I'm kidding.
They will get every bit of my stupidity, my idiocracy.
I have Vegas brain. I came back.
That's
with,
right. You
I
were
came
just in Vegas too.
Yeah, I came
Jeez.
Back with Vegas brain. I went and worked with a friend, and I had slept the whole day before, and then she's like, I think I caught your Vegas.
What we're trying to say, those of you listening in the Crab Diving Network, is that we have been partying way too much the last few weeks to worry about your stupid fucking podcast that y'all want to listen to.
No.
We've been living a lot. No, I'm joking. We do love you. But it's been a fun past couple weeks. Surprised at how much weed is taught. This time when I was in New York, by the way.
It's so different, right? People are smoking everywhere now.
Yeah. No, like I walked past a big high-rise building.
Yep.
And four dudes were just passing a joint around the front. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yep. People like hide under the scaffolding in the shady areas.
There was no hiding. There was no hiding. Like loud and proud out there just smoking weed on the streets.
Amazing.
It was always so hidden in New York. And I don't know. If the law was explained to me correctly, my buddy said that he's like, oh, well, that's because they made it under a gram of possession on the street. You're cool.
Did you see there was a good SNL bit?
Whoever goes around with less than a gram on them?
Well, New York was really hardcore. Like, you could do more time for, like, weed than you could get for coke.
Yeah, it was bad.
And, I mean, you thrown right in, like, they just a whiff of it thrown, you know, right in Central Booking. So why would you, like, I mean, at least the people that I knew out there would be like, you're crazy. And I would just walk. I'd walk through Manhattan smoking, but my feet would not stop. Like, I would just keep
moving. Oh, yeah, no. I was watching people.
Keep it moving up your sleeve.
I was watching people standing on corners. When I went through Central Park, I mean, you were having a hard time finding places where it didn't smell like weed in Central Park.
I love it.
It was real. Now,
this
I was also.
The perfect time of year, too. How awesome was the weather?
It was a little bit chilly, but it was fall. So the trees were changing, which is beautiful. We were also there, I found out, though, during this weekend where they were doing a big salute to John Lennon in Central Park. It might have been why it smelled so much like weed everywhere. But
Strawberry Field.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. That was pretty cool. Me and Sydney, we got lost in Central Park for a day, and we wound up at the big boat lake.
Oh, yeah.
That's in the middle of the park that everyone knows about. And we were going to rent a boat, but we actually decided instead to sit in a little alcove by the water. And we had side-splitting laughter for about 45 minutes sitting there watching 95-pound women try and row a boat past us. I could not believe how much both of us thought this was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Women, these light, tiny women couldn't, like, all arms, no torso, not putting any back into it. Just go, why are we not moving faster? I'm like, oh, God, this is more fun than being in the water. Being in the water, like, oh, no, what if we tip? We don't want to get wet. The water's kind of dirty. This is just entertainment.
I would have fallen over in the boat just laughing.
Oh gosh, we'd have tipped the boat laughing, like rowing past them. Like, try leaning your back into it. Oh, you weigh 15 pounds. Oh gosh.
Oh yeah. It's not crew team.
We came by what was my favorite sight of the day, which was a dad who let his two little 7-year-old daughters, like one got on each oar. We're trying to paddle it, and he was laughing just as hard as we were at his daughters trying to paddle this boat. They couldn't move the boat for stink. It was so great.
That's awesome.
So much fun.
I saw the Book of Mormon in Vegas.
That's awesome.
That's a great show.
That's the only show that I have ever knowingly, violently overpaid for. Yeah. When I was in New York, I was doing a show out there, so I wasn't there with Sydney. I was by myself. I had nothing to do for a night, and I remember I saw a guy who was like this. He was scalping the tickets for like $450. I'm like, I need to see this show.
Yeah, it was definitely a sight. However,
it's a great show. It's a show worth seeing.
We had really good seats, but the. In a dark theater, I listen, but my eyes just want to close when a theater's really dark. I have that same problem in comedy sometimes too. If I'm in the back, just trying to watch.
I understand.
Some clubs are really, they make it really dark and just, but that's what this particular theater, it's only been there for like 2 years. It's beautiful. I started.
You knocked out?
No, I didn't fall asleep, but I just get like peaceful and I want to like close my eyes and.
It's a weird show to get peaceful during. It's a very funny, funny show.
Oh, but then I'd snap out of it and go look at my friend. Like, did they just really say that?
Yeah, it's a really great show.
I feel like I said, did they really say that? so many times. And then I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but I'm moving right on. And at the MGM Grand, they have you can get an IV if you are really hungover.
Yeah. I knew about that.
You can get an IV of like vitamins and hydration.
Yeah, they got phlebotomists who are there who are certified to stick needles in you.
Yeah, I think they might be like paramedics or something. They referred to them as medics. So
yeah,
I don't know if they
have their first aid. I know a couple people who work in labs and a couple people who do blood draw like for travel company or not travel like home companies. They come to your house and draw your blood. And there's a difference between a first aid license and a phlebotomy license. Phlebotomy is anything involving needles. Mm. So you can – some people I've heard just have a phlebotomy license. Like they're like, oh, yeah, I just go to people's houses, draw their blood. I don't do anything else. And they just have that license.
Gnarly. I'm afraid of needles, but I was hurting. But the best part about it though – well, not the best for that person, but – I was sitting there waiting with my friend and the lady answers the phone and she's like, no, it's okay. We can send a wheelchair up to your room.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, oh, I'm not that bad.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not that bad. But they'll go to any hotel or any place on the strip for an extra $175. I mean, that's a lot of money. But if you're like, honestly.
No, trust me. I've been there. When you get back.
There's only a few times in my life that I can feel like that. At any moment where I felt like that, I don't care how much it was for the IV, it'd be worth it. I'd be like, you can trade my car right now. It's cool. We'll just call it even. Just give me some juice. Like,
I still will always remember when my best friend in the world, Alex Gutierrez, his bachelor party. There were like five of us taking one car. We were driving out to Vegas. And we got in the car and I had these ulcers in my esophagus, which were just causing me to puke about every 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we're all getting together in the car, and I'm in the back seat just trying to hold it in. And I realize we're in Burbank. I'm like, guys, drop me at St. Joseph's Hospital. I can't go. I'm not going to be able to do this. And they drop me off there. I remember as soon as I get in there, thankfully the ER was empty. And I just walk up, and they take me back. I'm green. They're like, oh, yeah, come immediately back. I get back there, and the doctor comes in to see me. I'm like, I promise I'll be back. In 36 hours, just please put enough fluid and drug in me to get me through 36 hours. And they pumped two bags of IV fluid in me, a bunch of Zofran, a bunch of Dilaudid, which I found out is just heroin.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, come back because this isn't going to last very long. And I went to – I called Southwest. I got a one-way plane ticket. Met them in Vegas. I got there like an hour after them.
Southwest.
And partied with them, had a great time, went to sleep that night, woke up. I was able to get all the way back. As soon as they dropped me off at my apartment, I went, uh-oh, and had to get right back in my car and go right back to the hospital.
Aww.
So, yeah, I know about those fluids.
Yep.
They'll get you through.
And it was so funny.
They'll get you through.
That my friend, they're like, oh, your veins are so – like my body was just like –
Yeah, that's that's the weird thing about, you know, you want for a place like that, you actually do want people who are a little bit more experienced with needles because, yeah, when you are hungover, you're dehydrated. When you're dehydrated, your veins shrink and they're a lot harder to pierce. Your blood's thicker. So it takes a more skilled needle person when you're dehydrated. So,
yeah.
Poke you a few times? They poke you?
No, they got me. I'm usually a pussy about needles, but I was hurting bad enough to be like, whatever. And then they gave us – we got energy shots in our butt too. And then
it feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah. And
it
then immediately I picks I won some money and I came back and slept for a few days because that's – Yeah.
Well, very nice. Well, all right. Let's move on to this Rolling Stone article.
Oh my God,
so Rolling Stone says the next five states – to legalize weed. They are, according to them, California, Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, and Nevada.
So, all cool with me.
All cool, but here's the thing. So California, Maine, Massachusetts, those three, pretty obvious. Well,
Vermont, yeah.
For two different reasons, California and Massachusetts. California is blue. Everyone knows California's blue. It's voted blue for a long time. Massachusetts is blue, even though everyone in the state is a Republican, which is very weird. They always vote blue, even though when you talk to them, they're very conservative state. Right? I mean, April, I'm not crazy here. You can say it about your own state.
Hmm.
It's the most Republican Democrat state in the union. You guys vote Democrat every year, but fucking Mitt Romney was your governor.
They're as far right blue as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. Maine, they're libertarian.
They're like, we want you to have your rights, but not over here.
Yeah. Yeah, Maine is libertarian. That's one of those states where they're like, you know, just give me my rights. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. So, of course, they want to legalize marijuana. Vermont, you said, of course, Vermont. Vermont, to me, that's one of those. That's a flyover state. So that's maybe.
No. I mean, it's practically legal in Maine right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and Vermont has been like, that's like what? Isn't that where Ben and Jerry's is from? Like, it's like the headiest. It's more like, it's so hip. It's like.
Is the cities, but there's not many cities in Maine. Most of Maine is backwoods. Have you ever been to Maine?
I'm talking about Vermont.
Oh, Vermont. Are you talking about Vermont?
I'm from New England. I'm from Massachusetts.
Hey, I'm making sure.
I just went to Maine in July.
Because when I go through Maine, I feel like, oh, this is what would happen if Boston fucked Arkansas.
I told you it was the Kentucky of New England.
It is. It is the Kentucky of New England. That's precisely what it is.
That's just because it's like country, you know. But
everyone has Boston accents. It's really weird to see those backwoods guys who are talking like this.
I love it.
It is kind of funny.
I think it's hilarious. I think that it's beautiful up there, and you can breathe fresh air. I mean, I'll pass on the snow, but
But back to Vermont. So why is Vermont such an obvious one to you then?
Because it's hippies.
Is it really?
Are you serious?
I ain't never been to Vermont. That's well, I mean, I have, but I've been to Washington, D.C. That's Virginia. Oh, wait, that's Virginia. Oh, it's on the border. I'm so bad with what the word is to describe where states are.
Well, it's like New Hampshire.
Geography. There we go. That's the one.
New Hampshire is like the Texas of New England. Because the guns and like the tech, just whatever. And Vermont is just the hippiest of hippie.
But Nevada, that's the one that surprises me. Yeah. Because you know what? Here's the thing. I said it a long time ago, and I still believe it to be a true thing. I don't know that marijuana and gambling will be able to coexist as well as everyone would like it to. I don't know that those are good bedfellows. You know?
All I know is that they've been having different conventions, cannabis conventions. Obviously they hold the biggest glass conventions. They have HempCon in Nevada now.
A good friend of the show, Medicinal Mike, just gave Tommy Chong a Lifetime Achievement Award in Las Vegas at their Hemp Fest. Like, yeah. They're certainly joining in on the culture.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, it's just something else. I mean, tourism, they're into that. They're into people eating food. They're into people spending money gambling while they're too fucked up to notice how much they're spending. I mean, it's a win-win.
Is that marijuana though? I feel like
I was ripping my oil vape in the casino.
That might be you though, but the majority of people I know
made me more fucked up than I was prior.
The majority of people who I know who, if you're drinking or doing something else, you'll hit blackjack, you'll hit table games, you'll hit things where you're betting a little bit more. When I'm high in Vegas, I sit at a penny slot, I get free beer, and I giggle at the lights and the sounds.
No, I do that when I'm on other things.
All right, well then maybe I'm just back. I hope to be proven wrong, but I don't know that gambling and marijuana are going to be great bedfellows. Right. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I've.
It's Vegas, so it's a party city. So maybe
they give
it's just
no
whatever.
Fucks.
They gives no fucks.
They gives no fucks if your fucking room smells like. They just don't care. They're down for it. They're all they're gonna do is sell more food. Seriously.
You don't think it makes people maybe walk
less violent.
Walking the strip less, which is bad for business.
Why? You can't smoke blunts inside hotels. You have to walk the strip or you're going to your hotel room. I mean, I heard.
Well, but that's exactly it. You'd have to you still have to go somewhere to, but are you then more apt to just stay in your own hotel?
Okay, let's just put it this way. If it goes legal, great, but it's not going to stop anybody if it doesn't. And then I'm more concerned with the whole Massachusetts thing right here, saying that by 2016, right, 2016, it could be
legal. I don't know about in the. I don't think in the U.S. of A. it will be legal.
I'm talking about Massachusetts. They just finally got their.
Oh yeah, no,
the
Massachusetts
opened their first dispensary.
All
I know is that I mean, have you experienced Colorado's legal weed?
No, I have not. I've only experienced Washington's.
And yeah, so I mean, to me, just from my experience in Washington, it was literally the same experience as here, except there's nobody checking my paperwork out and no security guard making me feel like a criminal. It's just – it was like exactly like a dispensary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flat screens on the wall, display cases. You could smell this. You could smell that. Fucking dabs, edible, like standard shit.
All right, yeah.
So, I mean, if it's going to be like that everywhere, fuck it. I mean,
well, we'd all like that, which gets us into the candidate who said that it would definitely be on the docket of things he'd be willing to do. Bernie creeping up the polls, Sanders. I wish we had Teddy Tutson here to talk about this because I've been yelling at him about how I feel like Bernie is a legitimate candidate, and everyone's been telling me I'm wrong. I don't want to.
Can we call Teddy right now?
No, he's in New York right now, actually. I don't want to I don't want to tell you guys how to vote or how I'm voting, really, because it's really none of your business and none of mine. But as far as just the interest in the person, the interest in this person, Bernie Sanders, is kind of cool.
He's rallying people.
He's getting people to show up at a lot of places. He's got a real grassroots type campaign going. And
did you see Seth MacFarlane talking about him?
Yes, I did see Seth MacFarlane talking about him, which was great. And
it was so interesting.
And the two big platforms that he stands on is wealth redistribution and the stopping the systematic prejudice in this country, mostly being done through mandatory minimums and drug sentencing. So that definitely includes legalization.
How old is he? He looks old.
He's 72, I think.
Is that like
He's an older man.
That is older for
It's older for a presidential candidate.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Because I was just looking at him right now and I was like, that dude is cool, but
He's also A, in great health, and B, what doesn't get talked about.
I'm just saying we got to pay attention to whoever his running, whoever will be his vice president.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to make
he
more
is, no, it's true though. I mean, he is an older man, but he is also the most tenured senator in the Senate right now.
Awesome.
He's held his seat for over 20 years and not doing it actually as a Democrat. He's had to run against Democrats and Republicans because he is listed as an independent. He's just running on the Democratic primary ticket.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to run as a third party candidate.
No, because that doesn't it doesn't count if you're not a Democrat.
It's not even about it not counting.
I mean,
it's
it really doesn't.
He's still a seasoned enough politician to go.
It's cute you gave it a go, Roseanne Barr, but
he's a seasoned enough politician to know that.
I did like her. I would have voted for her.
Yeah. Ralph Nader cost Al Gore the election against Bush because Nader, if you liked Gore, you might have liked Nader. There was no way if you liked Bush, you were going to like Nader. That just wasn't going to happen. So he split Gore's vote. And Bernie knew that if he ran as a third party candidate, all he would do is take votes away from a Democrat and guarantee the Republican's going to win.
Right.
So
you have to think about it like that, the big picture.
Yeah.
That's good, though.
And he is a Democrat. People worry so much because they hear the word socialist, but socialist Democrat is not the word socialist. He's not a communist. He believes really honestly in something that I feel like most Republicans, if they listen to the words, would go, oh, that's fiscally conservative. He believes in reinvesting in America, which is usually what Republicans are all about. It's what he loves. Mm-hmm. He loves this country. He says, give people free education, but force them to work for the state for a year to pay that off. I mean, I think people would like a job right out of college. Hmm. I think people would love that.
You think?
If you were guaranteed a job. Well,
and not pay off their student loans doing something totally different than what they went to school for?
Yeah. What a crazy thought that instead of 4 years of college, you have three and then a mandatory year of state service. I mean, what a thing to offer pride in your state, in your country.
In your job.
In your job. In your degree.
In yourself.
In all of that stuff. So, you know, there's people who bitch about, oh, the money that we're going to spend. It's like, yeah, you know, most of these programs, I've looked, they pay for themselves. That's the great thing about government spending. If you do it right, all the money you spend comes right back into your pocket.
I was talking about with my Lyft driver on the way here. He was a Korean guy from South America. Like he had like a Latino accent, and I was talking about just how crazy, like how I didn't know how rich of a country Mexico was. Like I felt ignorant.
Yeah, Mexico
about that.
City is a rich, rich city.
Like trillion.
Yeah.
Like that's just like what? That's like richer than. And I'm like, where is it? And he's like, you know, that's happening with this country too. It's becoming more and more corrupt.
That is why I've said for all the times that Roger Goodell has been trying to stick an NFL franchise in England,
uh-huh.
and it makes no sense, and it would make travel a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
With how much money's in Mexico City, if you want to be international,
I mean, really?
You want to go with some fanatical fans who will get right behind a team.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Mexico City, man.
There
Start
is a
lot team
of money
down
there,
there.
And I'm like, well, I mean, there's a lot of manufacturing down there. I mean, it's not all drug money. I don't want to assume that it's.
No. They have real exports. They have real exports.
No, I'm just saying that's like what the common assumption it would people are like, why do you have so much money? But then it's I don't know. I feel really ignorant. I didn't realize what a rich country it was.
Yeah, it's creeping up there.
Yeah.
But it's also extremely corrupt and there are a lot of problems.
Right.
But there is also a lot of money. But they have the same problem we have here, which is that the wealth isn't distributed. There's a very big gap between
exactly
the rich and everybody else.
Yeah, and that's happening in this country more and more. I mean,
absolutely.
The middle class is kind of,
and that's kind of what that's Bernie's big platform is, the middle class. And you know, that's kind of why I have a lot of interest in him as a candidate. I really, somebody who says middle class is the most important thing, I kind of appreciate that. I like that. That's what's most important to me.
So I mean, we've got this wonderful thing here in the country that people are starting to make money for in all these states.
Yep.
Marijuana.
Yep.
And then our country, or particularly in Colorado, our whole country as a whole, the Federal Reserve, moving along, is keeping – there's no – the Colorado banks that want to run their – $700 million industry in Colorado. They're not giving them permission. The Federal Reserve is not giving them permission to operate as a bank.
The Fed is still forced to operate under federal law.
Yeah.
And federal law, it is still a class one narcotic. I get why everyone's so like, yes, we want to get, but you can't ask the Fed to get behind. We can't do this until we've had a national discussion on marijuana. I mean, we can get as upset as we want and be like, but did you think that the Fed wasn't going to step in the way here? It's their job.
They don't want that skunk money.
They do want that skunk money. Believe me, there's nothing the Fed would like more than to bring that skunk money in, wash it a few times.
if anybody hasn't heard the episodes in the past where we've discussed about how
yes.
there are banks complaining about the money stinking like weed.
No
and
shit, man.
In the banks, like,
it's cotton. It's porous. It'll hold that smell. Shit, that's what money is.
My
it's,
purse will hold that smell just from holding a sack.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Did you think the Fed was going to be okay with this April?
I mean, I thought that there was an announcement that they were going to allow. I mean, we've discussed articles where the Feds were going to start taking it easy on and allowing, you know, some sort of.
They're yes, they're not going
to. You have to allow commerce in a state.
The Fed is not going to hassle small businesses having small business accounts with local banks in their state.
Wait,
they're not going to allow. But they're not going to allow.
I can take credit card for it, but I can't take cash.
They're not going to allow one big mega bank in Colorado to allow every different state to ship their pot money there.
Well, that was
and become
that was the
big
thing,
centralized
bank that they. This is a different one though. This is Fourth Corner Credit Union, and it was just supposed to serve Colorado, not Oregon and Washington like the
if they're applying with the Fed though, that means that they were at least going to attempt to do something interstate. Otherwise, there's no reason to deal with the Fed. The Fed is, I mean, it's interstate commerce. That's why the Fed gets involved. So they might have been serving that industry or saying they were just going to serve that industry. But if they were going to the Fed, it was because they wanted something more. Because so far, they've been allowed to have small business accounts.
So now they want to have – the credit union's now asking a judge to step in and order the Reserve to change its mind. That's kind of a big deal.
And he's not going to. What the judge hopefully will and rightfully say is have a national discussion on marijuana and then we can talk about this. But until then, I can't help you because we're talking about a bank working in a business that is illegal. A judge can't do anything about that. His hands are tied. It's illegal.
Huh. So it says according to the Federal Reserve, that the bankers won't be led into handcuffs for taking marijuana money, but they don't have the right to put that money into the Federal Reserve system.
Yeah, exactly.
So it won't. So basically, not federally insured banks.
They're saying that you can't. Everybody knows the FDIC. You always hear those initials being said.
That's a federally insured.
That's
right?
A federally insured bank. That means that if your bank is FDIC, which if you're Wells Fargo, any bank that you name that you can think of is FDIC insured, which means that I think it's up to like $250,000 if you have an account there and that money disappears, they will get you that money back. The Fed is just saying we can't give that to you if you're a weed bank. If you say that your primary business is as a marijuana banking bank, which I don't know why I use that word twice,
I'm
but
just
lay off.
I like skunk bank.
Marijuana banking bank. If you're going to do that, then we can't insure you. If that's in your mission statement, it's not craziness. It's just the law. Does it suck? Do we disagree with it? Sure.
But it's a big deal about there is a judge that is going to make a decision. So it may go somewhere, it may not, but for now.
He's going to uphold the ruling. There's nothing else he can do. His hands are tied.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily.
His hands are tied. There's nothing he can do.
It's like the same with that one from California that was talking about rescheduling and then was like, at this time, blah, I can see like they knew that there was so much, even the people fighting against, you know, the rescheduling did not have enough. They admitted they didn't have enough information. And then the judge still was like, at this time, I can't do it because they're all just a bunch of fucking puppets. I'm sorry.
You can say they're all a bunch of fucking puppets, and I get what you're saying, but it still is a bit more complicated than that.
Well, if they give you if your job as a judge is to interpret the law,
if your job is to interpret
set
the law
precedents, then fucking do it.
Yeah, but that he has Sorry. To. If you look at the book, and the book says marijuana, Schedule I narcotic, illegal. And then you look at your case, and your case is company wants to start a bank mainly for businesses involving marijuana. If that's in your mission statement, then a federal judge, which this is a federal judge, is going to have to respect federal law. He can't respect the law of the state. He has to respect the law of the land. That's the United States. That is a federal – it's illegal.
They tried to compare it to like using it to allow trade in endangered species or in trade with North Korea. Get the fuck out of here. How are you going to compare those two?
I mean, listen, Republicans say dumb things, okay? I'm not – they're also the ones who said that when gays started getting married, next thing you know, people will be wanting to marry their dog and their goat and their horse. So,
but I love my dog.
Don't listen. Some people don't understand sarcasm and they'll think you're being serious.
Oh,
careful. They'll be like, see, I was listening to that Cantilinguis show and they were right. The gays are marrying now. That girl on the Cantilinguis want to marry her dog. What the hell is going? We don't want that. So.
I mean, he's a great little spoon. He's a great little spoon. He's a good snuggler. He listens sometimes.
Well, that's always a good – that's a good quality. I know, yeah. I don't even do that one, so.
He doesn't ever shit on the floor unless he's here.
I also never listen to that one. I always am shitting on the floor. I shit on the floor regularly.
I left him home with mom. No, I don't want to marry my dog for the record. I mean, like, as a joke. But
that's the whole thing is that, you know, it's that same leap of – faith that these, you know, you hear one, yeah. You go, well, if you do this, then you're allowing everything. Like, oh, shut up. All right, moving along to we have to do this one just because the name of the article made me smile. Bon Appetit, a story about cannabis coffee. You want to take this one away?
Well, Bon Appetit is what? Is it it's a show? It's a show about munchies?
That is so awesome.
Yeah. And this is from munchies.vice.com, and there's a bunch of different cool things, and they do little ganja tours. But why I clicked on it was this was talking about an L.A. coffee club that's going to have cannabis coffee. Cannabis-infused butter, coffee, cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, orange juice, and pistachio butter. Wow.
I could fucks with that. I could definitely fucks with that. Have you ever done the weed coffee before?
You know, I can see how that would be really good. I can see.
But have you ever done it before?
I mean, I've done weed and coffee.
No, have you ever done the weed coffee before, though? Because I've done weed coffee before.
I don't think so. It exists.
Yes, it exists. I've had it once before. It is it's a little bit weird. It
just depends on, like, because I feel like if I have caffeine and sativa, it's like two things, two wrongs definitely don't make a right.
Well, that's the thing. It hits you like a ton. It hits you like a cup of coffee would, but with weed. So it's very – it is contrasting feelings because it hits you and like, oh.
Yeah, but it depends though.
Papa.
Like sativa and coffee, it's just like two – it's like doing coke and – meth at the same time. You know what I mean?
No, coke and alcohol. Yeah. Coke and heroin, I guess.
I guess not. I don't know. Okay.
That was a little bit too extreme. Test that one at home, kids.
Yeah, no. Back it up. Beep, beep, beep. Sorry, we're backing it up. I'm fucking so
Is that
spun
what
out.
We're doing?
Yeah, I'm spun out. No, for real.
A little slap happy from the weekend.
Coffee gets me jittery anyways. Often I'm very sensitive to caffeine. I'm already kind of hyper as it is. That's why I smoke weed. So
no, you?
Yeah. But I get a little, you know, it depends on what it is. I could see CBD and coffee really being awesome. But just like actual like THC, depending on how uppity it was, then that would be my decision. But I've definitely had coffee and weed and had it.
I mean, I always – I do a little bit of that. When my throat is aching me, I do a little bit of that CBD honey in hot water and with a little bit of tea. And that usually that's happiness for me in the morning. It makes me feel nice.
Have you ever had a bulletproof coffee?
I don't think – what? I'm scared for you to tell me what that is.
It's like coffee, but
I would imagine.
Well, okay, there.
That was the only ingredient in that I was able to figure out.
Well, bulletproof coffee is supposed to be like low mycotoxins. That's fungus for anybody that doesn't understand that. As I didn't,
me?
I
you mean yeah. for me?
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, April. Appreciate that for
you're,
me.
You're welcome. But you could use single origin organic coffee also if you're going to make it. And then you add ghee. Or grass-fed butter, unsalted, and coconut oil or MCT oil. And so it's a really fat. Like, it's a lot of fat. And so what it's supposed to do, it's really good for your brain. All I know is that it's, like, sustained energy. Like, if you have something like that in the morning with your breakfast, you won't be starving, like, at, like, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning. Like, you could work all the way to, like, 2 or 3 before. It just keeps your energy going. It keeps your brain thinking. It's supposed to help you lose weight too, because it like sends your body to dump. If your body knows it's getting fat all the time, then yeah,
that's always
dumping
that. That's that new study thing that people that
There's
they seem
a,
to go.
It's another
you
theory.
Have to have some fat, otherwise
oh,
the body
yeah.
feels
you
like it has
it.
To hold
your
on
brain
to all its fat.
Needs like your brain really needs fat. But I digress. That just brought that up. But this sounds dope. Literally. Hey. I'm sorry. I'm cheesy today. Let's move it on, though.
Moving it on. So, Pot for Pups.
Yeah.
Startup cash. Now, all right. We've talked many times. We don't support getting your dog high on this shit necessarily, but there are medical.
100% for CBD.
Yeah, there are a lot of medical benefits, and we've talked to Sam and Mead before, and a couple other people. And I have a friend now who uses topicals for because he has a dog yeah. with hip issues.
Yeah. No, you can give them CBD. There's a company called Vet CBD that exists already. That's specifically for animals, though I've given my dog the Honeypot CBD, and it's beautiful. I mean, we've talked about how CBD heals broken bones and, you know, ligaments and all sorts, like heals them stronger than they were before. It's got anti-inflammatory properties. It's just, it's magical. And it doesn't have to have THC in order for
yeah.
that to be.
And thank especially
you,
if
University
you have
that study.
As someone who my dad has had two small dogs, my girlfriend was the one who got our dog, so we have a small dog. I've experienced a lot of if you have, and also I have a lot of friends. Like my best friend has two German Shepherds. Another friend of mine has a Saint Bernard. Big dogs, small dogs alike, hip issues are just a dog mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah. Especially like bigger dogs, right?
Well, both big and little. Dogs. I mean, small dogs, it's the same thing because they're just so small and frail.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be
little,
jumping up on beds.
My little 7.5-pound Ruby, she sprained her hip jumping off of a bed.
I love Ruby Dukes.
She is the cutest little button in the world, but I digress as well. hip issues, that's just a dog problem. They get it more regularly, worse than humans do. So that's the big one that the raw plant and the CBD really looks to help.
You know, dogs are so resilient. They could be in a lot of pain and still want to get up and,
yeah.
you know, have fun. So, I mean, there's a bunch. This article is basically talking about how a lot of startups are putting their money into dog-based stuff because, I mean, obviously the pet market is huge in general. But mm-hmm. then – But with this, since it's
people
a,
like
it's,
to take care of their pets, they like to you know that's
better,
the new thing.
I
that's,
know people that take better care of their pets than they do of themselves.
I was about to, I, that,
they
that
feed
was a,
their pet organic and eat Del Taco.
I feel like that's a term that started in the 1980s because it wasn't true until the 1980s when people started saying, "Oh, we treat animals better than people," and they said that in terms of euthanasia because if a dog is suffering, you'll put the dog down and you won't make it live through. It's suffering.
That makes me
and
sad.
We don't do that to
I don't
people.
Want to think about that.
Well, this is a very sad thing, but that's where that coin was phrased because until the 80s, we weren't better to our pets than we were to people.
Yeah.
And now, really, when you look at it, I mean, I have my two chinchillas, which is now one because I lost one. He was 11. He made it a long time. And so he had a long, healthy life. But, for the longest time, body size to living space, my chinchillas lived better than I did. For like years, for like 6 years, they lived better than I did. Now I have a house, so I'm almost living equally to my chinchilla's body space to living space. They're rodents, and I treat them like kings. My two cats, they have four litter boxes to use.
Mm-hmm.
My Ruby Doob, oh, I have never gone to Petco without getting something for her to chew on.
Oh, yeah.
That is...
I have so many toys for my dog. I don't even... Like, I have a little like thing for his toys, and it's not like overflowing because if I go... I have to bring him something.
Yeah.
He gets so excited. It's so cute. Oh, my God.
It is kind of adorable to watch.
I embarrassed him in front of his friends on the schoolyard the other day.
Oh, Jesus.
I took him to the park, and... I took him to the park to run around with the puppies, and he did this. I had him with the dog sitter for a few days, but he never run. Like, he wasn't coming when I called for him, and I tried to get him, and he'd run away from me with the ball, and I kept saying, come here, and he wasn't listening to me, so then I finally caught him and was like, we're going home. And he was like, whoa. It was just like, I felt like an actual mother with a child. Like, yeah, you're not going to listen. We're going home.
Oh, my God.
It was adorable.
You did not.
I know. And then I saw the people from the dog park today at happy hour. And I was like, I felt so bad. I embarrassed him in front of his friends.
See, you're one of those people who actually treats it like it's a child. Like, I still am like, no, they don't understand a word I'm saying.
He totally knows.
No, they don't. They get it. They get intonation. Well, here's the thing. My Ruby Doob, because she is half Jack Russell. I know that they've said
she's wicked smart.
They've said that Jack Russells can sometimes have up to 1,000-word vocabulary that they can understand.
Absolutely,
like actual words. Most other dogs, though, it's like 10. They say it's like they can maybe get to understand like 10 words, and three of them are their name, stop, and no.
No, there are some dogs that are more emotional than others. Like, also, I've talked about this with someone about revenge poops. I know of more than one dachshund that would do that. Not you, my dog.
Cats are more known though for revenge pooping.
Can we talk about your cat?
My cat took the greatest revenge poop of all time because my roommate Mitch got a new kitten. Who is half Maine Coon, half Bengal, all terrorist. Just this thing is just he's adorable, but he's bent on destruction of Earth as well as being adorable. He's bent on killing all mankind.
He's so awesome.
He is. He's a great kitten. But he was kind of bullying my kitten Indy out of her litter box. So Indy, because Rocky has his own tiny little litter box in Mitch's bathroom. And Indy never goes in Mitch's room because she knows that's Brocky's world, and she fucking's like, I'll stay away from him. You stay away from me. And one day she just had it up to fucking hear, and Mitch opened the door to his bedroom, and he said, Indy was like just walking out looking so proud, and in his mind he's going, you're never in my bathroom, you're never in my room. And he said he just changed the litter, he was throwing it out, and he hears Brocky going crazy. In the bathroom, and he runs in there, and Indy just left a shit right on top of his litter box, didn't bury it, just left it there. It was the greatest revenge poop I'd ever seen in my life, of just like, well, if you're gonna shit in my box, I'm gonna shit in your box, and I'm not gonna bury it, and your box is a lot smaller than my box, so ha ha ha.
Why would Brocky shit in her box?
Yeah, Brocky would shit in her box and then like bully her from getting in her own box. She's like, fine, I'll shit in your box. You're not gonna like it. You're not gonna like it at all. And he did not like it. He was not a fan. He was very upset.
He wished he could have hit the fan. It probably smelled bad if she didn't cover it.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I treat
Is she the same one that does the laundry basket?
Yeah. I mean, we found out, apparently, because we had to take her to the vet because we were worried, you know, with her not using the litter box recently, that it might have been the diabetes. If you don't know, when your cats aren't using the litter box, that's usually what it is, because the litter box represents hurting, because going to the bathroom hurts. So they'll go outside of the litter box. Plus, their pee is usually sticky when they have diabetes in the cat litter will get stuck to their paws, and they don't like that. Whole bunch of things. But that's a big sign. So we're like, okay, got to take her to get checked out. First thing the vet says, like, she seems healthy. Do you have a new cat in the house? We're like, yes, our roommate just got a new cat.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know this. Apparently, they say once you get over two cats, if you have three, you should have four litter boxes.
Huh.
So that nobody could ever bully anybody out of a litter box.
They bully people out of their shit boxes?
Yeah, they do. That's a dominance thing. You know, it's like, this is where I shit.
What a dick.
Yeah, that's a cat thing. Cats are cats are possessive animals.
My good friend on the East Coast, she had a cat that used to shit in the bathtub. And we'd be like, what the fuck? The cat would shit in random places besides there too. Yeah. And we're like, why does this cat? She found out that the cat just liked to stretch. So as soon as she got rid of the lid for the thing, it started going in the litter box again. So it liked to put its like paws on both sides of it and like push. And when she finally watched the cat do its biz, then she understood why that. Interesting, right? I had one cat my whole life besides like roommates' cats, so I don't really know thoroughly the ins and outs. I've you know, graciously emptied a few litter boxes here and there.
Yeah.
But I only had one cat, and it was an outdoor cat when I was a kid, so I don't know that.
Did it shit outside too?
I assume so. I was a kid.
Yeah. That's impressive. We had one cat that did that one.
I had a roommate's cat that shit outside. She didn't have a litter box for it. Oh, it would scratch the door when we want to come in, and it would scratch the door when we want to go out. Kitty Lulu. She's an old lady, but she was like a jungle cat. She's like 15, still climbing trees and stuff. She's so cool. She's still alive right now. Hi, Kitty Lulu.
Well, anyways, well, it's time to wrap it up. What you got coming up in the next few weeks besides, you know, hanging out with your mommy? Doing any shows?
I think so.
How specific?
Well, I don't know. I'm tired. I get it. All I can think ahead is my mom.
Well, I know I got.
I got mom time to put in the bank.
I actually got to buy. We got next week, October 30th at the Hollywood Hotel. We got PUI, our 1 year anniversary show. My girlfriend Sydney is rumored to be maybe hosting the front end of that show.
I'll be there.
Which is going to be really exciting because she is not a comedian. She does not get on stage, but she's doing it just for the fun of hosting the show with us.
It's the 1 year anniversary.
It's our 1 year anniversary. Some really cool ones. November 30th, I'm going to be up in the Seattle area, about 45 minutes outside of there, like the Boulder Canyon, some name like that. Cool. I'm getting that all wrong. Gonna be featuring for Justin Ruppel. I'll be doing a half hour up there.
Nice.
And then I'm also featuring for him January 17th. We're going up there. That's a cool one. We're going to Justin, one of the most successful clubs in the U.S. is the Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, which was a club that Justin helped. He was the first host there when they started opening. He hosted every single show there. And you know,
he's from Washington.
Because that's where he's from. That's, you know, his neighborhood. Right. He lived right down the street from there. Yeah. And he even though he hosted there, he never really got the opportunity to be a headliner there because he grew up, he moved on, and because he started there, they never really felt it was, you know, like they never really looked at him to headline. And he just did a charity show out there for a guy who's running for city council and sold it out, and they said, you know what, maybe it's time to have you headline the club that you started in.
That's progress.
So that's
there.
Really cool. So
that's,
I'm gonna be featuring for him there, which is even cooler for me because that is the club that kicked my ass harder than I've ever had my ass kicked in a club. I did 2 5-minute sets there to zero laughs.
Yeah.
Zero laughs.
It
at
hurts.
All. And now I'm going back to do a half hour.
It fucking hurt. You know, my friend said, and this was like, she was telling me something that another comic said to her, and it was just a very interesting thing that you should be able to do 30 minutes to silence.
Yeah.
And that means like to a stone cold audience that gives you no love and you just move on. You don't like, you don't lose your shit. It. You don't give them a heart. I mean, you could start fucking with them or whatever. But, yeah. But if you can do 30 minutes of your own material to silence.
Yeah. You it's something.
You are accomplished.
It's something. Yeah. So going up there, hopefully I won't have 30 minutes of silence, but going back up there.
No, you won't.
Which is exciting. And then that weekend, Justin will be moving from headliner to feature. I'll be moving from feature to either host or opener for Paul Reiser.
Nice.
That weekend, which will be awesome.
Where is Bellevue?
Bellevue is a suburb of Seattle.
Okay.
So it's just out, just like over the bridge and across the water, because everything there is water.
I thought Washington was pretty.
It's, I mean, I look
forward to going back.
It rains enough that everything fucking grows. So, you know, yeah, it's pretty. It's nice when you could see it.
When I was there, it wasn't green. It was like the end of a hot ass summer. They had a really hot summer.
Yeah, they did have a very hot summer, I heard, this year. But yeah, and then lastly, I know I'm going back up to Washington yet again to Richland. I think in May, going up there again, which I went up there once before and it was fucking awesome. And I'm looking forward to doing it. Awesome. Joker's Comedy Club in Richland, servicing the Tri-City areas with their laughs.
Southwest. Yeah, you can take Southwest up there.
Actually, no, I just got my Virgin credit card. So, you know, I gotta rack up those miles. You know what I'm saying?
Did I send you that link for Virgin the other day?
You did send me that link for Virgin the other day. I almost used it to buy tickets for one of those road trips. Well, thank you guys so much for listening.
You.
Thank you, Crab Diving Network. Thank you, Rafopoulos Studios. We love you guys. Thank you to our tens of listeners. We'll talk
Shut
to you guys
up.
Next
it's gotta
week.
It's got to be more than that.